tell me kind of just how this story came to be.
You know, we're all doing the same thing. So three of us were doing one thing, and it might have been a strength for one and not for the others, you know. And as we started working with each other over the next few years, we realized we could accomplish a lot more and take over the insurance world a lot faster if we came together as one and trying to do it separately.
You had to choose what your goals are. And if you want to let yourself get in the way of that, you're never going to reach those, right?
It's very necessary if you're going to do something like us to not have those egos. Because if you have egos and you want your name on the door, you want a certain role or whatever, it's not going to work what we're doing.
Sure.
It's completely selfless.
And I don't think we ran into anybody that told us this was a great idea.
Yeah. Well, and I think it goes against conventional business wisdom, right? I mean, one of my first business mentors, you know, I said, what's the biggest piece of advice you're going to give me? And he goes, don't ever have a business partner.
We set it up as if it wouldn't work out. So we spent the money, went through all the processes for worst case scenario. I just find it interesting who we worked with and other people. A lot of people don't do that. Right? Like, they don't set it up for the breakup, and that's what you have to do. So because we all had the friendship and we felt comfortable working with each other, along with we set it up for a possible breakup, it made us all very confident.
Welcome to the Insurance Dream. I'm your host, Abe Bowling, here today talking with a company called Heritage. I've got Michael, Jeremy, and Caleb, the three owners of Heritage, on for the interview. This is such a fascinating story because, you know, throughout the merger and acquisition series, we've talked to people who buy insurance agencies. We've talked to consultants who help agency owners find the right match for, you know, who they're going to sell to. We've talked to a couple of people who have been acquired. One of them, you know, kept working and he was planning on retiring in about 10 years or so, but he didn't know what the climate was going to be like in 10 years, what the pricing multiples were going to do, what the capital gains tax was going to do. So he decided, you know, I'm going to sell now and then I'm going to keep working. I'm going to get some money on the back end of it and, you know, build up my retirement portfolio. It was a great move for him. We talked to a big company out of the Pacific Northwest that sold so that way they could grow. They could acquire more agencies. And today, this is totally different. We're going to talk to the folks over here at Heritage. Their website is heritageadvises.com. And they did a totally different thing. These are three guys, three agency owners who met at a conference and over the course of a few years developed this friendship with each other, did some traveling with one another. And they got to look at things and they said, you know, we do a lot of the same stuff. Like we're spending a lot of our day, I'm doing the same stuff that you're doing, the same stuff that he's doing. And so their game plan of what they wanted to do and where they wanted to go was similar. And how they operated their agencies was similar. Their philosophies on insurance in general was similar. So they said, what if we brought ourselves together and formed one agency out of these three? And what if we were all together? Could we grow faster? And I think, you know, anybody looking at it, the answer is arguably yes, like probably, right? But it's interesting to hear the story, hear about all the things that they had to think through and work through to be able to make that merger happen. And, you know, I hope, because this just happened, this beginning of this year. So my hope is that maybe next year we can sit down with Michael, Jeremy, and Caleb again and see how that first year under this new corporation went. But nonetheless, it's a fascinating, fascinating story. I'm excited for everybody to be able to hear and maybe get some ideas of your own on how you can best grow your agency and position it towards the future, because things are changing and things are changing quick, and we're going to have to change how we do things as well. So right back after this, we'll be with Michael, Jeremy, and Caleb from Heritage.
Insurance agents, do you find yourself needing more companies to quote your clients through? Are you using aggregators or cluster groups and find yourself waiting on middleman underwriters for approvals on your quotes? Do you want direct access to more insurance companies without the slow, painful appointment process and heavy production requirements? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Insurance Professionals was built especially for you. Insurance Professionals offers agents instant access to top national home, auto, commercial, and life carriers. Our free multi-rater allows you to quote all lines of insurance with one data entry process, and quotes are available instantly. Our program provides direct carrier access to agents, so there are no middleman underwriters to wait on. Simply quote your insurance with our free multi-rater, pick the quote you want, and use your own credentials to log in and bind directly on the carrier's website. Our carrier selection includes Travelers, Nationwide, Kemper, Encompass, Clearcover, Chubb, National General, and more. We charge no upfront or monthly access fees. Get started today at becomeaninsurancepro.com. That's becomeaninsurancepro.com.
All right, I'm here with Michael, Jeremy, and Caleb of Heritage Advises. This is a really interesting story to me. And I think that, you know, the reason that I wanted to bring this on so much in the merger and acquisition series is this is something that as an agency owner, I don't think that a lot of us think about as really even an option. We'll let them dive in and tell the story. But basically, this was, an agency that was located in Washington, an agency that was located in Arizona, and an agency that was located in Missouri, all came together to create more efficiencies and just kind of get a bigger powerhouse going to form one agency. So we've heard from, you know, the big, huge folks that are trying to, you know, go out and acquire agencies, bring them into the fold. We've heard from folks that have had their agencies acquired by those bigger ones, but this is such a different story and such a different take. I know that it'll give you different insight on a different journey. Guys, thank you so much for being here today and for taking the time out of your day to do this. So I don't know, you know, which one of you want to speak for the group, but tell me kind of just how this story, you know, came to be.
Thanks, Abraham. We'll let Jeremy jump into it. He's our designated speaker.
Perfect.
That's part of why we came together. So Caleb and I don't have to talk as much.
I like it.
Depends on the day, Abraham. Depends on the day. So, you know, we all met 4 years ago at an event, right? And it was a marketing event. And part of it was, you know, using social media. So, you know, we started looking at Facebook, YouTube, a lot of these different things. And as you know, you've been to a lot of these events. You have a lot of time to meet agents, talk to them, get to know them. And Caleb and Michael and I just, you know, we found a lot of common interests. And we had a lot of similarities. We were using a lot of the same programs. So after that event, over the next few years, we just worked a lot with each other, right? As Michael had, I think, referenced in the first talk, is some of us, you know, we're all doing the same thing. So three of us were doing one thing, and it might have been a strength for one and not for the others. You know, and as we started working with each other over the next few years, we realized we could accomplish a lot more and take over the insurance world a lot faster if we came together as one than trying to do it separately, right? It's similar to, I'm a big sports fan, so some of these, you know, NBA players, I love basketball, you know, they come together and they realize they can win more championships if they have other people that are great players than just doing it on their own. And it just happened that, you know, it aligned at the right time. So that was, we started working on it, I think, last year, you know, and it takes some time, but it was official as of February 1 this year. So that's the watered down version that kind of brought us all together.
Sure. So now you guys were three different entities now formed into one. Were they all about the same size agencies as to one another? Or maybe there were some that are a little larger, or how did that work?
That's what made it difficult. And that's why the process obviously took a while, mm-hmm. because we are all very different size. Some of us a lot larger, some of us a lot smaller. So that process was a process, but no, we definitely were not the same size.
Sure. And then, so obviously that translated into equity stake and all that kind of thing, right? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So what's your guys' game plan? I mean, do you guys go out now? Are you looking for other agencies to acquire? Are you still looking to just do 100% organic growth, combination of the two?
Yeah, that's interesting you asked that, because both, for the short answer, right? So organic growth is great. And one of the reasons we loved, Caleb and I wanted to market or merge with Michael, is Michael's great at marketing. Like, he does very well. He's done it on his own. You know, he has his own YouTube channel called The Garden Nerd, and he's had a lot of success. He studies it, right? And he fine tunes that and continues to improve. So organic will always be a part of what we do, right? Organic, our organic is probably a little bit different, because we're big on education, right? Whether they're a client of ours or not, we feel like it's our duty to educate people. And that's going to help us through other avenues, you know, grow organically. But we're also 50% acquisition. So before we merged, I had acquired quite a few agencies in a few years. When we came together, we felt like that would be a greater opportunity for us, right? Is to really be able to have processes in place and have a foundation where we could do that quite at a faster pace. I will just say that, right? So we probably talk to one or two people a week that are just looking, one, for help, right? So since I've been through the process, is there's a lot of times we'll have conversations and we just help them because a lot of people don't know where to start, don't know what to do. And the benefit we've had is we just went through this merger and we went through, you know, working with a consultant to get valuations individually as a whole. It's just a very confusing process. So whatever we can do to help others work through that and kind of get an understanding, that's what we strive to do, right? But also in that, it might end up being a good fit for us as well. So it's kind of interesting you ask that because we found a lot of conversations we've had is there's people that love the flexibility of running a business. They love being able to build their own financial freedom. They love being a part of something, but they realize running a business sucks. Like, let's be honest. Sometimes it just sucks, right? You wake up some morning, you're like, why am I doing this? So we've found quite a few agents we've talked to lately, agency owners, that they want to sell, but they still want to work and continue that journey, you know. And I think you get to a point you realize what's most important, you know, is it your name on the corporation and that you're the owner, or is it really having freedom of time, you know, being able to earn money and being a part of something that you can build, like there's a purpose there, if that makes sense. So our strategy is both, you know, we want to continue to grow organically, but acquisition is definitely something we're looking at all the time.
Sure. So now you guys, so it sounds like this was just finalized in February on paper.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. So this is still really, really new. So before February, what was the level of not entanglement, but, you know, togetherness, whatever you're going to call it, that you guys participated in business with each other? And then since February, what's been the change for each of you in your day to day? How have things shifted?
So I'll tell you from my perspective, and then maybe Caitlin and Jeremy want to jump in. But up until February 1st, we were still three completely individual entities. We weren't, bank accounts weren't official, carriers weren't official, none of that. We were still completely separate. Me, from a marketing perspective, because I knew February 1st was coming up, I had started with the website, I had started producing videos. And I had geared things up, but we didn't release any of that until February 1st. Now that we've come together, we are slowly but surely starting to separate roles to where I'm moving to more of a marketing angle and spending time on content and education. Caleb is moving more to an operations and process role, and Jeremy is moving more to the CEO role. So it hasn't been easy. There's been a lot of issues arise that we knew would arise, but slowly but surely, we're starting to individualize and move into those individual roles.
Yeah, I'd say that pretty much what Michael said. I mean, we were running a lot of the same processes before, you know, using similar forms for service and sales, a lot of the same marketing strategies. I mean, we really fed off each other, right? I mean, that was why we became such good friends. But, you know, we were kind of, you know, late 2020, early 2021, we were kind of looking at a lighter version of this, of what we're actually doing now. And now, and then at some point you realize that, you know, we're doing all this similarly, we get along, you know, if contractually we can firm up everything and have a goal in mind, you know, we'll be more effective coming together. And Jeremy says this all the time, and it's true, like, we don't have big egos, right? He talks, Jeremy's a big team sports guy. We always come back to basketball when we're, describing things, but, we want to win. We care more about winning than we do about our own, whether my name's on the door or whatever. Right. And so that was probably, and it's pretty eye-opening in this world, right? To know that, that you can meet two strangers and connect as quickly as we have and be selfless in the process, because it does take a lot of selflessness to go through this, especially the way we're doing it. I think there's a lot of people that have a lot of bad experiences out there because of that. But so far we've been lucky in that.
Let me touch on that real quick, Abraham, to what Caleb said. It is very interesting as we start to, move into our individual roles. Like Jeremy's like, oh, you're going to take that off my plate? Okay, I never have to think about that again. He's happy to give it up. I'm happy to give things up. We have complete trust in each other and no ego to where it's like, okay, Jeremy's the CEO. He's going to take care of this. I don't care. I'll hand that role off to him. And so it's very necessary if you're going to do something like us to not have those egos. Because if you have egos and you want your name on the door, you want a certain role or whatever, it's not going to work what we're doing. Sure. You have to be completely selfless.
And we, I don't think we ran into anybody that told us this was a great idea.
Yeah. Well, and I think it goes against conventional business wisdom, right? I mean, one of my first business mentors, I said, what's the biggest piece of advice you're going to give me? And he goes, don't ever have a business partner. And I'm like, and I get the logic, right? Like I 100% understand. But there's a lot of things too, contracts and different things like that, the way things are set up, who does what. And then it sounds like, so there's three of you. So obviously majority rules, right? So like 2/3 of you think you should go one direction. Has that happened yet where two of you think that one thing's a good idea, maybe one of them thinks the other way, and then you're all just rolling with it together? Is pretty much almost everything been unanimous so far?
There's a lot of discussion, right? Like sure. We probably discuss some things that we don't need to. And I think mm-hmm. might not be a direct answer to your question, but it really came back to what Caleb said is we knew we would be better as one.
Right.
So we also knew coming in that there would be things we'd have to discuss and work through that we didn't before, right? Like that was weird to me at first. It's like, oh, I better call and ask Caleb and Michael. Like those are thoughts that I've never had before. But because we're so focused, I'm sorry about the sports, we're here to win championships. We don't want to just make the playoffs. Right. Like we want to win championships, right? Because we're so focused on that, we're able to be objective and listen to each other. And then, basically everything we've decided on that's been a major thing, we have all felt comfortable with. But we talk through it, right? And we get opinions. We even get outside opinions from people.
Right.
And I think, not to toot our horns here, but none of us really care who gets the glory. And that's why, everybody said don't do it, but we knew it was going to work. We also went through, like I said, we got a consultant and we did everything we did to shore that up, but we just don't care, right? Like we really don't care. Michael might have 50 points one night and Caleb and I get two shots. Who cares? As long as we win,
right?
That's all that matters.
And I would say, Abraham, it's been the opposite. Instead of like having to, two of us have to convince the other, it's actually been really nice when something's going on that in the past, I just had to figure out myself and I just had to think my own thoughts and not say it out loud and talk to anybody. It's nice to get Jeremy and Caleb on the phone and we talk things through and we can get each other's advice and come up with a game plan that three of us have implemented instead of one.
Sure. No, absolutely. So let's go around. I mean, cause I want to hear a little bit of backstory, like on each of you, cause at some point in time, each of you was like, I'm going to start an insurance agency. How did that happen for each of you?
I'll go first. I'll be brief. So I started working for an Allstate agent, captive agent, worked with him for a while. He sold his Allstate agency and decided to go independent. And so him and I at that point were partners in an independent agency. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, I bought him out and I completely owned what was known as Safe Street Insurance. And so that's kind of how my path into insurance was created.
Perfect.
I'm an SOB. So I was son of the boss. I bought my dad out. I don't know. It's probably around when we started talking, 2018, somewhere around there. But I've been in the insurance business the day I left college. So I had a really good mentor, my dad. Very unique thing from a boss, right? But also my father, is he trusted me completely. I opened an office in another town. He trusted me with all my stupid marketing ideas. So we had a really good relationship. So that's how I got started, and I've been doing it since 04. Jeremy's the old one here.
If you want to see some of Caleb's stupid marketing ideas, which I don't think are stupid, there's videos, YouTube videos of Caleb from like 10 years ago out there on the web that are actually really funny.
That's cool.
I think they're that funny.
He just didn't know. He should have stuck with it. He would have been way ahead of everybody
else. Yes.
Sure.
I started in 2006. I was working for an agency, and then 10 months later, partnered up with my good friend's dad. He had an agency out of Kentucky, you know, and actually built it off of, you know, we used to hustle dealerships. So non-standard, right? It would, you know, a lot of volume, not a lot of retention, but it was a lot of a volume play. And over the years, just built that, ended up buying him out. And then, you know, have slowly just grown from there. And started, you know, doing acquisitions in 2016, which I moved from Seattle. We talked about a little bit, Abraham, to Arizona, because I have five kids and you're trapped inside 9 months out of the year. It's like,
that's pretty much what we did.
Not worth it.
Yep.
Not worth it. The 2 months of sun didn't fill up your canteen enough, right?
So yeah. When we decided to make a break for the sun, and we weren't even sure where we were headed at first. So like I told you, we were in Olympia. And there's this lighting store in Olympia, and they've got, you know, all these different, you know, lamps and shades and, you know, chandeliers. And they had a sign on the door or on the window that said, sun ray bulbs or something like that. And what it was supposed to do, so I started looking into these things, and what it's supposed to do is give you more, you know, artificial sun rays. So that way you can be less depressed and feel like. And I thought, that's about the stupidest thing I've ever looked at doing in my entire life. I'm leaving and we're getting out of here. But, you know, I mean,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were like, okay, let's. So I started screening different locations for average days of sunshine per year. And then, of course, we ended up here in Arizona, which I've been here for almost 2 years, actually a little over 2 years now. And I still just go outside and look at the sky because. You know, being born and raised in the Pacific Northwest, I'm like, man, it's a beautiful day. And everybody around me is like, it's like this every day.
Right.
That's exactly. Why I'm here. Right. That's hey. A beautiful day. But
6 years this June for me, I do the same thing. So
yeah,
I never get sick of the sun, man. No, me get sick of the heat, not the sun.
Yeah.
That's only in the summer. That's when you go up to the Northwest. That's when it's nice.
There you go. That's when it's nice up there. You go up there and get your beautiful Pacific Northwest in. So where do you guys see this going? I mean, because you've divvied out some responsibilities. I'm assuming, you know, you guys had probably some similar carriers, but there's probably some differences in carriers. So maybe you guys added some carrier selection to your arsenal and your tool belt. You know, there's probably different marketing strategies you guys were able to share with each other, you know, different things, but where do you see this going? Because I know after a lot of mergers, so one of the previous interviews that we did was with a company called Bell Anderson. They're big in the Pacific Northwest. You probably have heard of them, Jeremy.
Familiar with them.
Yep. So we just interviewed the CEO of Bell Anderson. They were acquired by Acrisure. And you know, they went, so in 80 years, it took them to get to about $12.5 million in revenue. But then in the last 5 years after, getting acquired by Acrisure, they were able to grow that to over $40 million in revenue. So have you guys worked out any projections on, you know, like how much growth do you want to see year one, year two, year five? Have you guys done any of that? Or, I mean, are you just kind of at this point, just kind of putting it all together and then you're going to formulate what happens after that? What strategies are you using to make sure that you're able to compound the growth and make it worth your while? Because if it's not worth your while, I mean, you might as well just stay separate, right?
Yep. I'll let Jeremy and Caleb give the technical answer, but I'll say what Jeremy always says. We're going to the moon. Jump on the rocket ship. If you want to ride, jump on, because we're going to the moon.
I like it.
And really, I'll let Caleb speak to the numbers stuff, but we can't talk about numbers unless we tell you, you know, why did we come together? You know, so we have a purpose, and our purpose is to build better futures. That's for the people, that's for us, that's the people that work for us, that's for our clients, right? And that's for the communities we want to serve in. We feel a very strong desire to help people, right? So everything we do from top to bottom, from our processes, from our, whether it's service, sales, from our goals, it's based upon that purpose of building better futures, right? And with that, you know, there's always a push to grow and get better. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I think when you talk about winning, it's acquiring something through effort, right? And what winning looks like for us today is going to be different in 3 months and in 12 months, right? And I say that because as long as we have a goal to build better futures, right, our goals will continue to expand and grow. Now, we have to put numbers into place, right? We got to figure out things, which I'll let Caleb speak on. But we have some pretty lofty goals and how we want to get there, but everything ties into our purpose. Because let's be honest, Abraham, is we want to find great people that want to help us build, you know, something special. When you have a week, 2 weeks, 3 months, and it sucks and it's a grind and they don't enjoy it and there's not a purpose, you're not going to get them to come back, right? So that's why we had to establish something so that we know we could hit what those numbers are. So I just want to say that before we talk about any specifics, because we can't get there. We can have a goal of we want to be a $25 million agency in 10 years. But we feel like we have to have a reason, you know, what's our reason and what drives us. And that's what ultimately going to push us there. Yeah, it's good to have goals, but there's got to be a purpose with what you do, right?
Absolutely. Yeah,
and I'll say this, Abraham, it's not just BS. I think a lot of times people hear, oh, you want to build better futures. No, you want to make a crap ton of money. No, we actually do want to build better futures. There's been times where Caleb and I have been on the phone, we're building out processes, and Caleb's like, hold up. We're getting away from our purpose, from our mission. What are we actually trying to do? We're trying to educate and help people. And so we shift our mindset. And it's a process where, you know, because we all came from a different mindset, but now with our new education and just building better futures, it takes a while for us to shift that mindset. But it is truly something that we build into everything we do in the agency.
And everything starts with, we all three of us believe the more you give, the more you get, right? And for us, it's not even about the get. The get will come. We know that. It's everything to us is about what we give, right? So whether if you're talking about new business journey or your client journey during service, right? Even though these are mundane things, we have purpose of giving a lot more than we give, right? We always give value before we have any kind of ask. So it's something we always try to focus on. And I don't know what type of numbers you're really looking for. I don't really know. It's not really important to me, right, about what those numbers are, but I will say another thing that always goes through our filter of discussion is scale, right? We came together because of scale. You know, we have lofty goals. We're big Traction fans. So we have all of this kind of built out to where we want to go, right? With many steps in between there on how we think we can get there. But the main filter for us, not only is the education, the building better futures, but also, is this a scalable process? So again, processes are huge for us. Mm-hmm. It's how we're going to get to our big goals, is having anybody sitting in the seat able to do a process, because it's very clear. There's videos behind it that it's written out, you know, all those little things. It seems like a mundane and unimportant thing, but for us, and when we start thinking about scale, it's hugely important.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree with that. And I like what you guys said about, giving value before you get value, is because really that's what our whole agency was built on when we had it, was how can we create value in the community that we're trying to serve? And then how, you know, because once you create that value, people get in line to do business with you. And I mean, so was that like one of the things that brought you guys together, is you each, because it sounds like your niche Because, you know, I mean, we're all as independent producers. Like, you can go to Geico.com, you can go to Progressive.com, right? A lot of us write Progressive, but people can still go direct to get those. So really, like, you know, the whole play is that there has to be some advantage for the consumer to do business with us rather than just going direct. And it sounds like the niche that you guys really operate in, and was this something that was new when you came together, but, you know, true to a certain extent when you were separate, was the education of the consumer?
We talked about that before we came together, as we kind of figured out what we wanted to do, our whole purpose. But each three of us separately, we were not operating that way prior.
Okay, so this is brand new from February of this year.
Correct. And so, to be fair, I had done some, and Jeremy and Caleb, to a certain extent, had done some videos years prior in terms of education and things to that nature, but nothing to the level that we're doing it now.
Great. It's perfect. Yep. What were the...
So it helped us. So, yeah. Sorry, Abraham. As we went through the traction process, and as we were coming together, we felt like that was a need in our space, right? So that's why going through the process of traction, going through evaluating your goals, what we want to accomplish, we just realized that was what we needed to do. And we felt like a lot of it's not done, right? And we're just talking about educating consumers. We're not talking about our clients, right? So our goal, Michael, is to educate, what was it this year?
10,000
people on our YouTube channel, right? So we don't care if they're a client of ours or not. We just felt like this is a space that's needed. Insurance is very confusing. It protects, you know, really your business or as an individual, things that matter most, you know, your family or what you've worked hard to create. And it's something that's important in doing, right? Is that we're able to provide that. So it was just kind of interesting coming together as we refined who we were individually as businesses and knowing we needed to get better. That's the overall feeling that emerged from there. Like, you know what, we're lacking the education. And Michael, he's a little bit humble. He did do that a lot, and he did a good job of doing it, right? So he's just running with it. If that's all he has to spend time on, right? Then we'll be able to help a lot of people, and that's the goal.
That's perfect. What were your niches, or what did you guys have niches, or were you just kind of generalist agencies prior to? Because I know you had said, Jeremy, that, you know, you had done a lot of, you know, like work with dealerships. So like kind of a lot of just volume, not maybe much in the retention space, but, you know, a lot on the front end. Was that mainly your niche? And then Michael and Caleb also after that.
Yeah, I would say personal insurance. We got out of that a few years ago. 2015, 16, maybe, where it died off. But it was mostly what a lot of us, the three of us did, was online, right? So through GMB, using YouTube, using Facebook, writing more of the package client. But I'll be honest, is my agency, we weren't good at narrowing down who our ideal client was, right? And then being able to really go after them. So, but a lot of it was just online. You know, we were 80% personal lines, 20% commercial. We had some niches there, like in liquid gas, propane space. And different things, but that was essentially it.
And I was 100% a generalist agent, like 98-99% personal, did hardly any commercial.
Awesome.
Yep. And I was, I don't know, 50-50 personal commercial. So we do have some commercial niches that we are going after, like what Jeremy mentioned, liquid propane gas, nonprofits, contractors, municipalities, stuff like that. So we do have some niches on the commercial side, but the biggest thing what Jeremy just mentioned is we're trying to not be everything to everybody anymore on the personal line side. We're truly defining who our ideal client is and just going after them. And that's our goal on the personal line side.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a smart goal. And, you know, the customer that is wanting to know more about their insurance and what their insurance covers will probably have more lines, you know, be a little bit more established, kind of more maybe a preferred or ultra preferred type of risk. So I think that's a, very, very smart play. If you guys had to give one piece of advice to a group of folks such as yourself, looking at, you know, formulating a group to create a powerhouse and go forward in that method of a merger acquisition instead of more, maybe more like the traditional method, what would that advice be?
I would
call
say,
us. Let us help you.
Yeah, call us. Call us, we'll help you.
Free to plug yourself too. I mean, you know, put out phone numbers and websites there, because you know, this is something that probably from scratch, I would imagine difficult would be maybe a little bit of an understatement.
100%. It's an understatement. We've learned a lot, and like we talked about a lot here, our main purpose is to educate and not just our clients. So if there are people out there who want to talk, who are thinking about it, yes, please call us. We're more than happy to talk to you. But I would say from my perspective is you need to know what your strengths and your weaknesses are. Be honest with yourself, and then find people that their strengths are your weaknesses. Yeah. Drop your ego and realize that I don't think there's one business owner out there that's going to be good at every aspect of running a business. It's just impossible. Even the successful people that, you know, are the sole owners, they have hired help that fill in for their weaknesses.
For sure.
And so I just think you have to be honest with yourself, drop your ego, and then find people that can fill your weaknesses.
Yeah, I would.
I think that's great advice. I would say this. Oh, go ahead, Caleb.
I was going to say, I agree. The ego thing has been the biggest thing for us. I mean, you have to choose what your goals are. And if you want to let yourself get in the way of that, you're never going to reach those, right? I mean, we can talk about how much of a pain E&O was, you know, contracts, the legal side of things, but which that's why I actually said call us so we can kind of give you a full list of those things. Sure. There's so many to mention that were a challenge that we never... You know, you get into this and you never really, you can't think of everything, right? It's just impossible. Mm-hmm. So we've found a lot of things that we wish we would have known about beforehand, but that's the biggest thing is leaving the ego at the door.
Yeah,
I would echo that. And I would say this is the way I looked at it. Obviously, it's sports. It's like, who do I want on my team? You know, I knew a lot of agents I've worked with or you meet throughout, you know, the last few years I've met, but with Michael and Caleb, you know, it came very apparent, like those are two guys that I wanted on my team, right? And I would say my team, but if I'm gonna be a part of a team, and I knew they wanted to win as bad as I did. So if you have people that want to win that bad and that are good people, and it goes back to ego, but you know, right? No matter what, is you're all going to be on board with the same goal. And I'd say the number one thing someone can do is you got to get to know them, right? Like that's the biggest thing. We got to know each other. Does it take 3 years? Probably not. We had discussions. We interacted with each other, right? Like we were on trips together. We knew somewhat of our families. There's just a lot of intimate details you get to know, and then you can make a decision if you're comfortable or not working with someone, you know. And once you are number two, what's even more important, we set it up as if it wouldn't work out. Does that make sense? So we spent the money, went through all the processes for worst case scenario, and I just find it interesting in who we worked with and other people. A lot of people don't do that, right? Like they don't set it up that for the breakup, and that's what you have to do. So because we all had the friendship and we felt comfortable working with each other, along with we set it up for a possible breakup, it made us all very confident, right? We went through the steps, the contracts, like Caleb said, talking about compensation, you know, like everything, like we opened up our agencies to each other. So we all knew what we were getting into. There was really nothing we didn't discuss.
That's awesome. Well, guys, I really appreciate you taking the time to share with me and with our audience on this. How can folks get a hold of you guys if they're interested in talking further with you or learning more?
You know, they can go to our website, heritageadvises.com, and they can contact us there. They can also find us on Facebook. I'm very active on Facebook, Michael Overstreet. Search for me. And Jeremy and Caleb may not want to talk to you on Facebook as much as I do, but find me on Facebook. I'll put you in touch with the smart people, which is Jeremy and Caleb, and they can give you all the information you need.
Michael's great. You message Michael, he'll respond right away. Yeah, so if they go to Facebook, I mean, they can message any of us, but if they look at Michael's face, they'll see how famous he is, and they'll really realize why Caleb and I merged with him, just because he's famous.
The picture on the billboard, right? Perfect. Thank you guys so much. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Abraham.